thank God for his goodness and his mercy. I thank God that everyone's out today. Go to Matthew, 5th chapter today. I was reminded today of Evangelist Watson. We'll be talking this morning in Christian Education, the 5th chapter, the 2nd chapter. This great salvation. I thank God for his goodness and his mercy, and I thank the Lord for bringing us along, and I thank God for saving us and bringing us out of sin and keeping us. And I'm looking for a scripture in Matthew, the 5th chapter, this morning, and this one and one more, and and the Lord will have done all that he came to do today through me. Praise the Lord. Matthew, the 5th chapter. I'm going to encourage us today, all of us who are, the point came up this morning as I was teaching them. But you hear people say sometimes, if heaven is so great, then why doesn't everybody just want to die and go there? Well, I guess that's a fair question, and it's one that deserves to be answered. We're not given the mindset to want to die because we know the importance of life, because yes. God gives life.
Yes.
And every person who has a sane mind, every person whose mind is not under the influence of something terrible and something insidious, whether it be just a direct influence of evil spirits or devils, or whether it be the influence of drugs or anything else that makes you not have your right mind, trying to get this thing cranked up, makes you not have your right mind, whatever it is. There you go. Still not working. Let's turn it off. Whatever keeps you from having your right mind, as Peter in one place says, stir up your pure mind, your right mind. Whatever causes you not to be in your right mind is not of God.
Yes.
You notice I didn't say that whatever causes you not to be in your right mind is evil, because sometimes when you're sick enough and in enough pain, you'll have to have drugs, and drugs don't stop whatever's causing pain from causing you pain. What it does is it makes you not know that there is pain.
Pain, yes, yes.
Because the body suffers pain when there's injury to the body, so that you fix that. So sometimes, I'm not going to say that every time you're not in your right mind or every time you're not thinking clearly, it's always something evil. Because when you take medicines and drugs, yes, to some degree, they alter your mind. That's what everybody needs to know. That's what drugs do.
Yes.
They don't hide pain. They mask pain.
Yes.
They don't stop you from having problems if you're depressed. They simply make you not worry about them.
Right, yes.
They don't keep you from, when it comes to, drugs that take away pain or take away stress or relax you, do all these things. They don't change any of the situations that bring about what you take them for. Mm-hmm. They simply make you less aware of them.
Yes.
And they hide them. So I'm not going to say that everything that causes your mind not to think clearly is evil, because we use medicines and drugs all the time. How would you like to have a tooth pulled and not use any drugs? Boy, that would be something, wouldn't it?
Yes.
I used it a long time ago. Or how would you like to have surgery with no anesthetic?
No.
Of those things. So I'm careful not to say that anytime you not in your right mind, and that's not new. Even in Jesus' time and before, not new to mass pain. They use wines and various other things to cause, using opium and the things that we use for drugs. That's not new. That's not new.
Yeah.
How we package it, how we get it, how we present it is new, but they've always been around.
Yes.
So I'm not going to say to you, every time you're not in your right mind, you're an influence of evil spirits and that's evil. No, because sometimes purposely we are not. But I am going to say that it is never you're not going when you're not in your right mind. It is not something that God would have you to be as far as serving God. I'll put it like that. So you would want to always be in your right mind. You ought not want to be even willingly so in the painkillers unless you absolutely
have to have them.
Because you want to keep your mind pure and you want to have your right mind. So saying that, I'll get back to this. So everybody who's in their right mind, and everybody here, raise your hand if you're in right mind. Let me see you raise your hand. You got your right mind, you're sane,
you
know what you're doing, you're not crazy. You don't have your right mind today? The man, you don't have your right mind? We do? We have our right mind? In other words, we have a sane mind. We don't want to die.
Nope.
And we're certainly not going to kill ourselves. And we're not going to do stupid things like run red lights and be in places where we can be shot and jump off cliffs and, you know, and do all these things. And someone might say, I heard a man say one time about roller coasters and things. And inside of every one of us, there's this little bit of urge to want to, you know, thrill seek and be close to death. That's not true. We just like the fun.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to cheat death. I just like the fun of it. You know, so would you have a bungee jump? I probably would if I was younger.
Yes.
But I haven't. One of the things I wish I had done in life: go skiing and jump out of an airplane.
Yes.
I really do wish I had parachute. I do. Don't do it now. I'm not too old to do it. I just don't have the money to do it. And I can't break bones anymore. They don't heal well enough. So skiing is kind of off the table. But it's not because I have a death wish.
Yeah.
And that's because God didn't give me one. That's the whole point of wanting eternal life is the mind that God gives us to live.
Yes.
The whole point of it is to live. And people who are suicidal, believe it or not, they not only don't plan, they not only allow something to convince them not to want to live in this life, they don't plan to live in another one. They're wrong, but they don't plan. They consider that what they're doing is the end of everything.
Yes, yes.
And it's not.
It's not, yes.
Matter of fact, it is very much the beginning.
Yes.
So we have a love for life, and God has given us that. Because otherwise, how can we show the glory of God in these mortal bodies? How can we convince others that they need God? Because eternity is so much greater and longer in every respect. And so God would have people know of eternal life and know of the goodness of God. And he does that through us. So he says in Matthew, the 5th chapter, ye are the salt of the world, of the earth. In other words, we are what preserves the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, to be trodden under the foot of men. When I was growing up, I'm old enough to have grown up and deep enough in the South to have grown up from the time I was 3 until I was 16. And during those years, around Thanksgiving every year, they kill hogs.
Yeah.
And so, well, why do they kill hogs at Thanksgiving? Because you have to wait till the frost, because since they didn't have freezers when I was growing up. And later years, we had a freezer, I think probably when I was 12 or so or whatever. But in earlier years, but before that, everybody didn't have freezers. And even then, people up and have them. So you kill hogs in the fall of the year because the temperature is low enough that the meat can be preserved just from the natural temperature outside.
Yes.
You kill them in the fall. You don't kill them in the spring because hogs are bearing, having pigs and doing all that in the spring. But you kill them in the fall of the year. And then and you do it outside and everybody's cold. They got on jackets and they heat hot water in great big pots. It was quite an ordeal. And they raise them up and, you know, and do all those things, scrape the hair off, do all those things. And then when they cut the meat off, they had like a footlock or a big trunk or a big wooden box. They would put the meat inside this wooden box and put a layer of salt between each one. This is how you got salt pork and salt ham. It'd be so salty that when you got ready to cook it, you had to actually had to soak it overnight to get some of the salt out of it.
Yeah.
It'd be too salty to eat. Now, I liked it. Because at the time I liked a lot of salt, I didn't realize I was killing myself. But anyway, pork and salt, they can't get much worse than that, can you? But the salt kept it from spoiling.
Yes.
Salt is a preservative. Now, we don't use salt as much to preserve stuff now, although we do use to some degree, I guess, in food. But most food now is packaged using nitrogen and various other things that they use instead. But it's a preservative. But salt left out and not taken care of over the years, could lose its effect.
Yes.
And it would no longer be any good for anything. As a matter of fact, once they took the salt off from the meat, they threw it away because it had served its purpose and it was no longer good for anything. And you just, you know, as he says, to be trodden underfoot, they just throw it out.
Yeah.
And what Jesus is saying when he says this, he says, we're the people who are supposed to tell people they need God.
Yeah, yes.
Everyone who's ever been delivered, everyone who's had a miracle, everybody who's in great health, whether they do it or not is not the point. The point of it is we're supposed to be people who say we live because of God.
Yes, yes.
The earth is surviving because of God. Probably should have been destroyed again with the fall in the garden, but because of God's mercy and his grace and his purpose for creating us. I was telling young people this morning about Bishop Brunner's book, Age of Ages, and it gives a good insight into eternity and what God really has intent for us. It is not a fantasy. It's not fiction. It is written using the Word of God. But there's so much of the Word of God that other than the people who really study the Word of God, other people never preach or talk about it.
Yeah.
They just talk about going to heaven and they never tell you anything about it. And then talk about having eternal life and never mention anything about it. Well, this is a good book. He spent a lot of time going to it. If you have a time, read it. It's not a Bible, but it is a commentary on things that are in the Bible. And it's very good. And it's interesting. Only about so thick that the teenagers here are going to read it. But the reason why we're in the earth and why we're kept and what we're here for and what we're preserved for is because God has some other plan for us. When we look in Hebrews and get further down the second chapter, we find out we're supposed to be ruling over the moon and the stars and everything in the heavens, and we're supposed to have power over all the animals and every creature and everything. We don't, but as it says in Hebrews, but we're not. That's not how we are now. But then if we're never supposed to do that, then that means that the Bible is not true. And since I know that the Bible is inerrant, in other words, it's not capable of making a mistake, and it's infallible. God is infallible. He's incapable of not telling the truth. Everything he says is absolute because his word is his power. Then what he's referring to is what we shall be when we are immortal and when we are eternal.
Yes.
He refers to this. What we're supposed to do and what we were created to be. It would have been simple enough after the fall of the pre-Adamite man, before Adam and Eve were created, when Satan fell and the earth fell into darkness and did all that. It would have been simple enough not to be bothered with us anymore.
Yes.
If there was not a need.
Mm.
So then God gave us a love in this life. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost so that we love life now. So that all of us who are in God, the Holy Ghost in us and everything about us that's from God continually says live.
Yes, yeah.
That's why we have a desire to live. That's why if you put a gun to our head and we're saying you can have almost anything we can give you.
Yes.
At least on the spot. Yes. I never carry enough money that you couldn't have it if you put a gun to my head.
That's right.
So well, you know, you're just scared of everything. Mm-mm. No, I don't. Money's not that important. I'll get more.
Yes.
But I need for people to know about God.
Yes.
And that's how, and that's what you know. Among many purposes we have that are subsets, you know, that are many things we do. Some preach, some teach, some sing. Some of us, our purpose is to be evangelists, and some is to do this and do this, and the many works in the house of God, to sing, to usher, to be a musician. They're just, you know, our purpose, to let people know all over. But ultimately, our purpose in God is to glorify God.
Yes, yes.
It is to glorify God. I want to look for a moment, hold the place in Matthew, and go to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. And when I was in the fifth grade, we had to learn the whole Ecclesiastes 12 because Ecclesiastes 12 is a verse that young people should read, everybody should read, but it tells you to obey God when you're young. Mm-hmm. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. In other words, you need to know about God when you are young, mm-hmm. while you're able and while you're up, so that you can do what it says in 13. In verse 13, Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And when you get an opportunity, you read Ecclesiastes 12, you find that it talks about remembering now thy Creator, or knowing the Lord while you're young, while you're still healthy, while you still have eyesight, while you still have your teeth, while you still have your mind. In other words, this is the point that Solomon is making. And then in the very end, he lets you know that all other things are worthless. They're vanities. They're useless, but this much you must do. And in 13, he says, let us hear the conclusion of this whole matter about Ecclesiastes 12 that he writes. He says, and the whole point of this is to teach you at a young age to fear God. In other words, respect God, reverence God, believe God, trust God, and keep his commandments, obey God. For this is the whole duty of man. Obey God, trust God, believe God. This is the whole duty of man. This is why we live. We represent God. We do the will of God. He says, this is why I'm telling all the young people, they need to know God when they're young. They need to know God when they're healthy. People, I don't need for young people to, you know, not to knock anybody today, but it's not God's will that young people represent all the people who are in the streets and the rappers and some of them have great lives and they do very large philanthropic works and they do great things in humanity. They do all those things. And many of those things are to be admired about them. But ultimately, the person that you really, really want to represent, even though you might speak admirably of them from time to time, and sometimes they are worthy to be spoken of, but the one person that every one of us represents is God.
Yeah.
The person whose image we're created in is God. Yeah. And the person who we're depending on to have everlasting life is God. So we need to get the message out to people. Because we are the salt of the earth. We are the preservative. We need to get the message out. And as he writes in Ecclesiastes 12, the whole matter that Solomon is trying to say to them is, he says they need to know God when they're young so that they know God all their lives. And don't wait to the last minute when you're not able to do anything, when you're too sick to travel and you can't preach anymore and you can't see anymore and you can't study anymore, when you get beyond the point where you're able to really convince people about God. He says you need to do this while you're young because you're going to find out in your youth that things other than God are worthless. They serve the purpose at the time, but they have no purpose in everlasting life. So let me go back to Matthew, the 5th chapter. So he says in this 14, for ye are the light of the world. I love Evangelist Watson. She's not here this morning, but that's the one thing that she says continually. She says, God made me a light. The one word that she says every time I spoke to her, she maintains God gave her, made her a light. And when she gives her testimony of how she was in a car accident that rolled over, I think, 7 times, and God spared her, she said she told God she lived for God, and God made her an evangelist, made her a light. And she tells people everywhere she goes, God kept me, and I give out the grace of God and glory to God, and you need God. Yes, I need an education in these days. Yes, I need a job, because if you don't have a job, you won't eat. Yes, I need a house. I need a roof over my head. I need food on my table. And for us, I need a telephone. We can't live without one of those.
Yeah, that's right.
We do everything on that. That's just people go, you ain't got to have no phone. You do these days.
Yes.
That's like saying you don't have to have a car. Well, unless you live in a big city where there's mass transit, you need one of those too. But the one thing we need no matter where we are, no matter what, is we must have God. And it's not only the message that we have to have, but in God making us a light. It's like Solomon says when he writes, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. He's addressing the young people.
Yes.
Remember now while you are young. Know God now while you are young. He says because there's going to come a time when you're not going to be young. You need to know God now. And he says, and the conclusion is, the whole point is to reverence God. The whole reason for man is to serve God. We serve God. And God blesses us.
Amen.
We serve God, and God blesses us.
Yes.
We serve God, and God blesses us. And so he says in this, he says, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. We are a light to the world. We're the only ones who lead them to everlasting life. Only people who know God lead people to everlasting life. Not those who question God. Not those who don't believe in God. Only people who have God lead people to everlasting life. Only people who have God have the light of life. Mm-hmm. Only those in whom Christ dwells. And don't ever confuse this with Promise Church or any other church or whatever. It's wherever the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached, is being taught. It's whatever person can say, Jesus is my Savior, I'm on my way to heaven and I'm so glad. It's in every person who can say, the Lord has saved me, he's washed me, he's cleansed me, I have new life, I'm a new creature. Any way you want to put it. It's in everyone who will at least, at the very least, say, I do believe in heaven. You might even have to put a caveat on it, or you might have to put on a statement of, you might have to put a mitigating statement on and say, well, I don't live the best life in the world, but you're not going to convince me that God is not real.
Not real, yeah, yes.
What do they call it, a disclaimer. You might have to say, well, you know, I'm probably not doing as well in God as I ought to do, but I will not, but I've done one thing, there is a God.
Amen. Yeah.
And there is a heaven.
Yes.
And if God be my help and my strength, I'm going to obey God and I'm going to make it there.
Yes.
You might have to put a disclaimer on it and say, well, you know, I probably shouldn't have done this and that, but the Lord will forgive me and give me grace and mercy. I promise God if he'll wash me, I'll let him.
Yes.
And if he'll forgive me, I'll allow him to.
Yes.
Because I'm going to have everlasting life. You need to be one who says, when someone says, well, you know, I came in this morning and I been around 7 times on the ice because I hit black ice and I got away with not a scratch in my car. Just lucky, I guess. You need to say to them, well, the reason why I made it all right wasn't because of luck. It was because of God.
Yeah.
And I'm not knocking you calling yourself lucky if that's what you want to be. But I know the reason why I'm all right is because I have God. I know the true God who upholds all things by his power. I know his precious son, Jesus Christ, who himself is God, who gave himself for me and set me free from sin. I know God, whose only begotten Son is the one whose blood washes me and forgives me of all the stupid things I've done in life and the evil things I've done in life and makes a way for me. I know God who has given unto me his Spirit, who reminds me of every day of what my eternity is and what I need to do and where I need to go. I have salvation through him, and I am saved because of God. And the reason why I'm doing as well as I'm doing is because of his grace and his mercy that keeps me, and because of his love for me that sustains me.
Yes, yes.
And whether you ever believe it or not, when you continue to say to him, you may never believe it, you may never have it, but I know who I got. And if you want a life like my life, you need my God. If you want to go to the heaven that I'm going to, then you need the God that I've got. If you want to be set free from sin, then you need the Savior that I've got. If you want your conscience clear, you need the Holy Ghost that I've got. If you want to be all right and live well and live throughout eternity, you must have Jesus Christ as I have.
Yes, amen. Yes.
How do I find eternal life?
Yes.
How do I find peace with God? Everybody in here is a light that's supposed to say, I can show you where that is.
Yes.
It's
right
here.
Yes.
But who is God that I should believe? I can tell you who he is. It's right in here.
Yes, yes.
How do I know about God? Hey, follow me. Come on down to 716 Edge Street. Come down there on Sunday morning. Come on Tuesday night. Come down there on Friday night. And you'll hear about God.
Yeah.
Might not be the most profound speaker in the world, but if you give it a little time, you'll find out something about
God.
You might not find everything about God, but you'll find enough for you to have everlasting life.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between your God and all other gods? I can answer that.
Yeah.
Follow me on down to, come on down to the church house with me. Come on down to the meeting place with me, and we talk about God. Learn about God. Spend as much time learning about God as you do learning about all these political candidates that are running. You know their life. You know everything about it. And they're so finite and so small, but you've been God, who is infinitely more times greater in wisdom and power, and you know so little about him, and he does so much, and he sustains and keeps and everything, and him you don't know, but some little person who's in the back drawing strings in this little dirty, dusty planet, Him you know all about.
Yeah, amen.
It's true.
He says in this, we are the light of the world. He says that if you're a light, a city that's set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but put it on a candlestick and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine by doing what is right. When he says good works, he means what is right. He's not just talking about feeding the homeless, even though if you're able to do that, do that. He's not about clothing the naked. The naked is not just that lonely, but if you can do that, do that. For everything that you're able to do that represents God, that do. I know we live in dangerous times. You can't just bring people in your house. You can't pick them up in your car. There's some things the Holy Ghost knows it because we have common sense. But for the things you're able to do, do that. But when he mainly talks about good works, he's talking about how well you obey God.
Yes.
It's the works that James talks about when he says faith without works is dead. He's not just talking about opening up a soup kitchen, because if you can do it, do that. Because if I could, I would. Matter of fact, if I had the wherewithal and God had blessed me and my mind had been different 20, 30 years ago, I would have worked my way towards opening up an academy. I would have loved to have had, it might have been small, but I would have loved to have had some sort of Christian academy that this church believes in. And if this church would have gone another way entirely, but it would have followed God.
Amen.
It would have gone with God. So when he talks about men and women seeing your good works, he's referring to the work that you do to get people to come to God.
Yes.
It's the persuasion that you do that get people to realize they need everlasting life. It's what you say and do that shows how God is good in your life and has kept you. It shows what God has done in order to cause you to be who you are. That's why in the first part of the fifth chapter, he talks about all the people of every sort, poor, hungry, thirsty, that are blessed. He says, God will bless all of you.
Yes.
And when he has blessed you who are hungry, tell somebody about it.
Yes.
And when he has blessed you who are poor in spirit, tell somebody, Lord did this.
Yes.
And when he blesses all of you who are meek and all you who have all these things, you need to let people know, God did this for me.
Yes, yes.
If you want what I have,
yes,
then you need my God.
Amen.
If you're going where I'm going, then you must have my Christ.
Yes.
If you're going to have eternal life, you must have my Holy Ghost. Yes. You're not going to be changed from mortal to immortal without the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
That you must have, everybody standing. I have decided to follow Jesus. Salvaged or whether you're going to be trashed. It's the decision that you have to make. And Solomon says you need to make it while you're young.
Yes.
While the evil days come not, because evil days means when you get older and when difficult times come, they are coming. Don't ever think that when you're young, you're going to avoid the evil days. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. There's a set of evil days for people who are poor. There's an equal set, if not greater, of evil days for people who are rich. You don't escape the evil days because of your status in the earth. They come regardless of who you are. It doesn't matter. In God, we're equal. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage all young people. If you never give yourself to the Lord, you need to. You need to say, Lord, save me. You need to tell the Lord, Lord, I want to go to heaven.
Yes.
Lord, I desire to be with you.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Aaron, let me pray for you. How's your arm doing? Oh, Doing pretty good. You gave me a thumb up. So it means it's coming out okay. Doing good. You still want to play drums? You change your mind. You still want to play? Okay. Well, when your mom brings you next time, we're going to stick you over there. I think you're big enough and old enough now. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name. Lord, touch him in the name of Jesus. And you blessed him already, Lord.